Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope that you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast, Public Access Channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. It's from 8 to 8:30. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Only desire is to have you come, let us show you your need for God in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We hope you'll take advantage and come and be with us this Lord's Day. We are going to conclude the subject that we began last week in continuing our study on why we're members of the Lord's Church, and we have been examining that Bible miracles have ceased. And we began this study last week, and we're going to conclude it today. Necessary for the Holy Spirit to come up on the apostles so the gospel message could be infallible. It was not trusted to man's memories, but it was to the mind of God. This message needed an authenticated process. The miracles gave this divine stamp of approval to their message. Last week we read Mark 16:17 through 20 that it would confirm the message and also stated purpose in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. The coming of the Holy Spirit came as God promised to send through His Son on the apostles after His ascension back to His Father in Acts 2, 1 through 4. The Spirit gave them utterance, as we read in Acts 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We also know that signs would accompany their preaching, and we see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 43. New tongues were promised in Mark 16, verse 17. And one of the miracles or the spiritual gifts were tongues. Well, is that gibberish or is that different languages? Well, let's read the text and see. Beginning in verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem the Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Look, are these not all who speak Galilean? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" You see, this tongue speaking was understandable language for those who heard it, not unintelligible sounds in an unknown language. Why? God wanted them to be able to understand the message that was being proclaimed so they could determine a choice of whether or not they would accept it or reject it. The coming of the Holy Spirit also came upon the Gentiles in the conversion of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 and 45. We can read in Acts 10, again reading in verse number 44, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And many as came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, in this case, it's a different purpose that the tongue speaking was done to Cornelius and those who obeyed the gospel. Why? It was to show that God was now accepting the Gentile on the same plane that He was the Jew. That both of them now had the same opportunity of remission of sin and salvation in Christ by obedience to the gospel. That is very clear if you read Acts 11, verse 1 through 18, where Paul, who was recounting this for the elders in Jerusalem, said in verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it did on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord and how He said, 'John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift that He gave us, how was I that believed on the Lord Jesus who was I that I could withstand them? You see, this was baptism did not save Cornelius and his household. This was a sign that God was now granting repentance unto life, not just to the Jew, but also to the Greek. We need to understand that after Acts 10, Holy Spirit baptism is never mentioned again. We have two accounts of Holy Spirit baptism, Acts 2 and Acts 10. This baptism of the Holy Spirit was fulfillment of prophecy and promise. It was not a command. It was never given as a command, and it was never commanded of any believer. It was done to confirm the authenticity of the word, and it was also demonstrated to show that the message that was preached by the apostles and by Peter in Acts 10 was divine, was from God, and not from men. Only the apostles had the power to confer this miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. The ability to give these special gifts to others was peculiar to the apostles only. No one else enjoyed the honor and privilege. Those receiving these gifts could not pass them on to others. That's a very important point that we need to make sure that we understand and we acknowledge here. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 received the gift from the apostles. If you remember, if we go back to Acts 8 for just a moment, Philip had the apostles lay hands on him in Acts 6, and he was in Samaria preaching, and he was doing miracles. We notice in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 10, it says, "And to whom they gave heed, from least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God." And we notice in verse 6, it says, "And the multitudes of one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." Now, understand that Philip was doing miracles. He was casting out demons. He was healing the lame, healing the paralyzed, and there was great joy in the city. But the gift that had been given to him in Acts 6, he could not give to Samaria. How do we know that? Look at verse 14 of Acts 8. "And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard Samaria received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen upon none of them. And they had been baptized in the name only of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Notice, they laid hands. Who's they? Peter and John came down from Jerusalem. They laid hands and gave that gift of the Holy Spirit to the converts in Samaria. Philip had the gift, but he could not pass them on. How had Philip received them? By the hands of the apostles in Acts 6, 6 through 7. Paul conferred on 12 that he baptized in Ephesus in Acts 19, 1 through 7, when he laid hands on them. And so what we see in these two accounts, in Acts 6, in Acts 8, and also Acts 19, that this gift of the Holy Spirit could only be transferred by the putting on of the apostles' hands. They had the ability to give it to men, but the men they gave the gift to did not have the ability to pass it on to others. If they did, why didn't Philip pass it on to the Samaritans? Again, the text tells us the apostles were the ones that did that. And so we must make the point that the scripture makes that the only way the gifts of the Holy Spirit could be passed on to others was the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now, the expiration of these miraculous powers. When the last apostle died, the ability to pass on the gifts also died. When the last person died, who the apostles laid hands on, the gifts died forever. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 13, we read, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And then we can read in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, "Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known just as I am known. Now abide faith, hope, love in these three, but the greatest of these is love. I want you to notice that he told them that they should not get enamored with the gifts because they were going to leave. They were not going to be around forever. They were going away. Why? Because the word would be confirmed, then it would be translated, then it would be written, and then men would have the word of God in their hands, and they would no longer need the confirmation process to determine the genuine and the authenticity of the gospel. They could look and read it for themselves. But in the first century, it was still being recorded. And so it was in vessels of men. And so what this did is it caused the gifts of the Holy Spirit to further the knowledge and the wisdom and the information that they would need after their initial obedience in order to continue to follow Christ. They knew that they were lost in sin and they needed to obey the gospel, but how were they going to organize the church? What work was the church going to be involved in? What was going to be the organization of the church? How would they conduct their physical lives as husbands, wives, fathers and mothers, and as employers and employees? How were Christians to conduct themselves in an ungodly world? Where would they get that information? It had to be done in a miraculous way so they could continue to grow in their faith and they could continue to mature so that they would be able to be pleasing to God and influence and examples for good. And so spiritual gifts gave that wisdom and that knowledge in a miraculous way because the Word of God was not completed yet. But now the Word of God is completed. We don't need the confirmation. It's already been confirmed. And the apostles are dead, so now the ability to do gifts are no longer there because the ability to pass them on is no longer available and they are no longer needed because now we have the confirmed message. In John 16:13, when the truth had been revealed and assembled, the need for miracles ceased. You will know the truth, and the truth will set us free, John 8:32, and they were promised in John 16:13 that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. Thus, now that we have all truth, the miracles are done away with. Any further revelation that man says that he receives from God is without a confirmation process. It cannot be accepted. It cannot be believed. We have the Word of God. Therefore, the basic need of miracles is no longer necessary. Therefore, the gifts are no longer necessary. Therefore, we conclude rightfully, according to the Scripture, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8-10, that gifts have ceased because the need has no longer needed. And therefore, gifts of the spiritual gifts, the nine listed in 1 Corinthians 12, they are no longer applicable, they are no longer done, and Bible miracles. Bible miracles are miracles that suspend natural law. Those miracles are not done today because we don't have the ability, we don't have the need to validate and confirm the word, and men are not here to pass on those gifts to other men. Therefore, we conclude Bible miracles have ceased. Thank you for listening today. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day as we give you another